The Cinema Specialists are back, and the Oscar nominations for 2024 have been announced. Actually did have some surprises, so that'll be fun to talk about here. We're going to do this whole entire episode. We're going to kind of talk about the snubs, the surprise nominees. There's quite a few of them. And we're going to talk about not too much about who we think will win, but just kind of, you know, the odds of these kinds of things, because we are going to be doing an Oscar predictions official when we get to it. So this really is just nomination reactions. Two of the biggest movies ever, you know, the second or third highest grossing R-rated movie ever in Oppenheimer, mm-hmm. and then Barbie, which broke the $1 billion mark, racked up a bunch of nominations. So I feel like this is something mm-hmm. people are really excited about. Also, if you're thinking about becoming a patron, this is a great time to become it. And I'm going to preface with that, because not only are we going to be doing the $5 Tuesdays, which for the month of February, we're going to be doing the Sixth Sense, When Harry Met Sally, The Living License Daylights, which is the second Timothy Dalton.
License and to Kill, which Dune. Is the second one.
Yeah, and Dune. It's not the Living Daylights. I keep saying The Living Daylights. It's not. It's License to Kill. So we're doing License to Kill, and then we're going to be doing doing Dune, the 1984 version, because it's the 40th anniversary of that movie, and also Dune Part 2 comes out the first week of March. But on top of all that, for our $10 patrons, John and I are going to be doing Best Picture breakdowns. So each of the 10 Best Picture nominees are going to get their own dedicated episode on the Patreon, where John and I are going to talk about them, talk about the other Oscars they were nominated for. Some instances, there were 12 other Oscars, Oppenheimer. In other instances, nobody in the movie was good except for the picture, which I guess was Past Lives. We'll talk about that in a little bit here, but we're going to be talking about all 10 of the movies. I know we've done a Barbie episode, we've done an Oppenheimer episode, but this will be a little bit different because we're going to be going into a lot of the other elements of the movie, what the Oscars saw, where we're surprised, you know, especially with Barbie and Oppenheimer. Those movies came out 7 months ago at this point. So the first episode of that series will come out on Thursday, February 1st, which is American Fiction. And our last episode of that series will be March 4th, which will be Zone of Interest. So we're going to be putting out two a week starting February 1st. Last one will be March 4th. So if you're interested in becoming a $10 patron, if you're a $5 patron now, you're interested in becoming a $10 patron, February 1st, become a $10 patron so you can hear us do our Best Picture breakdowns. If after that, you're not sold on our $10 content, because for the movie stuff, it goes away, drop back down to $5. But I just wanted to let everybody know that we were going to be doing that. Jordan Alford already hitting in here. Hated that Dominic Sessa got snubbed, as well as All of Us Strangers, his favorite of 2023. Not getting anything, but overall the noms aren't bad. And Thursday is his birthday. So there you go. Exciting. Ooh. Happy birthday, Jordan. And you can celebrate by having your favorite movie of the year get zero Oscar noms, which my second favorite movie of the year got zero Oscar noms, which was Saltburn. So Saltburn got absolutely diddly squat. One with the Stone Must Know of Dan Campbell got a vote. Dan Campbell did not. Although I'm never going to be opposed to talking about Dan Campbell, but the Phil and Will show is going to be Wednesday night, and we'll talk all about Dan Campbell and the Phil and Will Bowl. This is all about the Oscars and our reactions. John, what stood out to you the most from the nominations?
What stood out the most?
Yeah. What was your biggest takeaway from it?
I mean, I had tried the futile attempt of not being spoiled until this exact moment. And it lasted about 30 minutes after you texted me saying that the nominees went live.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, yeah, I had that time to process. Biggest surprise is probably Saltburn just not having anything. I know it was a divisive film. We both loved it, but it had absolutely nothing, which was really surprising after, you know, the Academy gave Emerald Fennell some love with her last feature. Mm-hmm.
It's the wrong answer.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. That's the wrong answer. I have to say, this is not necessarily me disagreeing with the Academy or agreeing. We'll talk all about that. But the most shocking thing is that Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated for Best Director. She got the DGA nomination. So for her not to get the nomination here is really shocking. A lot of times the guilds kind of follow suit. Barbie, it was really hot. I don't think deservedly so. We'll talk about that. I actually rewatched Barbie today to prep for this episode and to prep for our Best Picture breakdowns. First time I'd watched it since seeing it in theaters way back in July. So look, Barbie is a good movie. It's not a great movie. It's a good movie. Greta Gerwig's direction is much better than the movie. Her writing and her and Noah Baumbach, who I love both of them, Their writing is terrible. I think the writing of the movie is terrible. And they nominate it for that, but they don't nominate Greta Gerwig. And when you look at the DGA awards, it was Gerwig, Yorgos Lanthimos, Christopher Nolan, Alexander Payne, and Martin Scorsese. Alexander Payne got left off too, which pretty much draws the holdovers dead in the water. The holdovers ain't winning best picture. The holdovers might end up walking out of the Oscar ceremony with nothing. So I think Greta Gerwig not getting the nomination here and instead them going with Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, and I might be pronouncing her name wrong, I don't know. That is shocking to me. Jonathan Glazer with The Zone of Interest. I guess Jordan saying here the directors have gone kind of rogue from the Guild in recent years, though. But those are – to put in a different woman other than Greta Gerwig is shocking. Now, I also watched Anatomy of a Fall today, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But – that's just, it's really surprising to me. So that's my biggest takeaway from this is that we didn't get a Greta Gerwig nomination there. And her direction was better than the movie. That still doesn't mean I think she was one of the five best directors this year. I think Emerald Fennell should have gotten the nomination here. Justine Triet earned this nomination. We'll talk about that. Scorsese, Nolan was a lock, whether you love Oppenheimer or not. He was a lock. And Lanthimos was a lock too, whether you love that movie. Yeah. So it was kind of who were going to get those last two spots. But generally, when you look at the Oscars, other than when you had something like Coda, I don't know if anybody remembers that movie. You shouldn't. It's terrible. normally, if you don't get a Best Director nomination, you're drawing dead for picture, which pretty much knocks out Barbie, Holdovers, American Fiction, Past Lives, and Maestro. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, continue.
I guess we're just talking director now, right? Like we've started with it, so let's keep talking about it. I think Best Director was a really tough category this year to narrow down to five people. I'm kind of disappointed in what it ended up being because it feels like an old boys club.
I don't know about that because Glazer and Triet are not. I mean, those are for sure.
But you saw a movie was made by Scorsese, Lanthimos, and Nolan this year. And you kind of just assume they're all going to get this nom for Best Director. Which is unfortunate because now I haven't seen Anatomy of a Fall or The Zone of Interest yet. They've been very hard to find so far. But even if we're looking at, like you said, Emerald Fennell, Celine Song, who kills it with Past Lives and like no mention here whatsoever, but don't worry, I'll talk all about Past Lives as we go on this podcast because there are a lot of stumps for Past Lives in my opinion.
Cord Jefferson would have been another option. I'm going to see American Fiction this weekend, but Cord Jefferson felt like kind of a darling here. First feature film, you know, a really, really biting satire of American culture. That to me screams somebody that they would want to give a nomination to. And I thought for sure Cord Jefferson or Celine Song would end up getting the nomination. And I was surprised to see neither one of them show. If you'd have told me Greta Gerwig and Alexander Payne weren't getting nominated, I would have assumed that Celine Song or Cord Jefferson took one of those. I'm not surprised Jonathan Glazer got in, even though I haven't seen Zone of Interest either. However, I thought for sure that if you were going to tell me both of those people didn't get in, I would have thought it would have been because of Celine Song or because of Cord Jefferson.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think director was just really competitive this year. They have to narrow it down to five. At least there is some, you know, diversity here. It's nice seeing two international directors being nominated for Best Director. It's nice seeing two international movies being nominated for Best Picture. If only France had submitted Anatomy of a Fall as their submission for international feature this year.
Yeah, they didn't do it. I know. And Past Lives wasn't submitted for Korea, right?
Past Lives is an American movie.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So it wasn't even like eligible for it.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I'm just looking at what Jordan's posted in here. He said American Fiction is great, but the script and acting are the reasons why. We'll talk about that in a second. He also said Divine Joy Randolph is 100% winning. She's an even bigger lock than Downey. So yeah, I think Divine Joy. I mean, we'll talk about supporting actress. That's the worst category by far out of the major categories. And I think it's just because they nominated the wrong people. There's a lot of great performances, but they nominated the wrong people. In terms of the directing, and again, I don't want to get too much into what John and I are going to be doing like a week before the Oscars. But when I saw this come out, I said, okay, it's going to be Nolan. Nolan's going to wipe the floor here. In my opinion, Scorsese was the best this year. But again, mm-hmm. I've always said I can't complain about Nolan winning because Nolan is due. And he's made enough good movies that got, you know, like The Dark Knight not being nominated in a really bad year for film is criminal. And so, and by a bad year for film, I mean Oscar year. Like when the Oscar, when you look at the five movies nominated for Best Picture in 2008, they're like, it's a bad bunch. Even if some of those movies are good, it's a weak bunch. I was like, okay, so Jonathan Glazer and Justine Triet, congratulations, you got the nomination. That's your win. Watch Anatomy of a Fall today. Justine Triet could win. She could win. And the way Jonathan Glazer with The Zone of Interest has built up a lot of hype, despite it being a difficult movie to find, Christopher Nolan's going to win. But this is a really, really, really strong category this year. Insanely strong. Yeah. So Greta Gerwig not getting in is a little shocking just because of all the hype around Barbie. There really wasn't enough room for her. And I think the more of the frustrations from other people is for the nominations Barbie got, it didn't get the nominations it probably deserved. I'm Just Ken. Mm-hmm. What Was I Made For? Ryan Gosling. Those all made sense. But to leave out Margot Robbie and nominate America Ferrera, to nominate this for script but not director, that's just like, what do you guys even know what you're doing? But you know, we'll talk about that.
I mean, a little bit later. I guess while we're on the topic of Barbie, just looking at Best Picture noms here, because we have the full 10 list now, Barbie kind of stands out as the very different film from that group of 10.
It is. It is. And I will say, we talk about this a lot. Out of the Best Picture nominees, Barbie is probably the best popular film to just get a nomination for the sake of a nomination, right? Because like Everything Everywhere All at Once was a very popular film, but that also was like, that wasn't just being nominated because it was a popular film. That was like a really incredibly well made. I'm not saying Barbie's not well made. I'm just saying like Barbie is your summer blockbuster. It's like Inception, right? It got that nomination and you're like, wow, that was a fun movie. Remember that? Generally, those have been going to weaker and weaker movies every year. You know, we saw Bohemian Rhapsody and Black Panther in the same year. I mean, that's just poor. So Barbie in this situation, that's my least favorite. I've seen seven of the Best Picture nominees. That's my least favorite. However, I'm not like mad about it. And Jordan Offer just said it's Top Gun for women. Honestly, like that's a pretty good comparison. I can't really argue that one. So
I guess Top Gun got nominated last year. That was the equivalent last year, right?
Yeah, Top Gun Maverick was the equivalent last year. Yeah. And I know that some of you who were listening to the Phil and Will show when we talked about the Golden Globes, if you haven't listened to that, go listen to that. It's actually a pretty fun episode. But Will makes the argument that Top Gun Maverick should have won Best Picture because it's popular. And like having conversations with Will sometimes just makes you want to hit your head into the wall as hard as you possibly can. But let's kind of like back off from the Best Picture talk just yet. And let's continue talking about these acting categories, because that's what people like really like to look at. So we talked about director. Let's jump into what I think is the worst category. And I don't think it's particularly close. Okay. Now, I haven't seen NIAD. So Jodie Foster and getting the nomination here, and Annette Bening getting the actress in a leading role. Congratulations. I love Annette Bening. She's been robbed so many times. It's crazy. Should have won for American Beauty. Should have won for 20th Century Women. Could have won for The Kids Are All Right, although Natalie Portman was amazing in Black Swan. But like Annette Bening, I love that. But this supporting actress category, Emily Blunt and Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple. I have not seen The Color Purple yet. So I'm over here saying this is a bad category. I think I'm more saying that it's disappointing to me who was nominated. America Ferrera, Barbie, Jodie Foster, NIAD, and Divine Joy Randolph, The Holdovers. I understand that people kind of pushed back against Saltburn. We did an entire podcast. If you haven't listened to our Saltburn podcast, go listen to that, because I talk all about why I think people pushed back and how if instead of Barry Keoghan, it was a female in that same role, I think that that movie would be garnering a lot of critical acclaim and would be nominated for a lot of stuff. I think people kind of missed the point of what Emerald Fennell was saying by making that a male character in the leading role. How Rosamund Pike doesn't land here is beyond me. And America Ferrera getting nominated is such a sham, dude. Like, it's so bad. And to nominate America Ferrera and not nominate Margot Robbie in the leading role, this is one of those, like, I could forgive America Ferrera here if they were just going down the line being like, Barbie's getting nominated for everything it's available for. We've seen that before. We saw it with Silver Linings Playbook, American Hustle. We see it with these movies where there's a lot of, you know, men and women that you could nominate down the line. But that wasn't the case. And I understand that America Ferrera gave the speech heard around the world this year. It's overrated. And America Ferrera barely even performs while giving that speech. And I rewatched the movie today to be like, before I go and talk shit about America Ferrera on this podcast, I need to rewatch the movie because maybe I missed something the first time I watched it. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't do it. She is a background side character the entire movie. And she doesn't do anything. She has that one speech. That's it. That's it. I don't know how she slipped in here. I know that at the SAG Awards, Penelope Cruz got nominated for Ferrari. I'm not even mad about that. Rosamund Pike should be in here. Rosamund Pike is fantastic in that movie. And I'm sure that there's other people, John, that you're about to start bringing up that I don't even know about. I mean, what about May, December? Was there nothing
I was just going to say, the fact that May, December didn't get any acting noms feels really weird. Like, I don't know if Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman were both given, like, head billing for the movie or something that made it so that one of them couldn't be supporting. For me, Julianne Moore should be in this Best Supporting Actress category. She gives a great performance. I'm just kind of baffled that nothing happens there. I know everyone was kind of pulling for Charles Melton in Best Supporting Actor, and that was a long shot anyways. But to not see Natalie Portman nor Julianne Moore in any of these categories is just baffling to me.
What was that released on? What was
Netflix, I believe.
Was it Netflix?
Yeah.
Was it really? Let me see. I don't believe you.
I'm like 99% sure.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, it's crazy because like it does feel like when it comes to this stuff, if you can't see it in a theater and you can't see it on Netflix, the Oscars people really don't watch it.
I guess so.
If it ends up on a smaller streaming service, like it just doesn't get seen.
Yeah, that's true. But this was on Netflix. And
yeah, that's crazy.
It didn't do it. Like this, the movie didn't do it for me the way it, like some other people have been raving about the movie. It was fine. Like it was good. There were good performances, but it didn't like blow my socks off or anything. But it seems weird to not have these established actors, especially with when we deal with the Oscars a lot of times, having a name matters to get yourself nominated. And to see two Academy Award winners in this film not get nominated feels weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think like this has been a weak category, and like even Danielle Brooks with The Color Purple, it's like, I haven't seen that movie.
She was probably one of the highlights of that movie, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it doesn't feel exciting. This category just isn't exciting. I feel like Divine Joy Randolph is absolutely going to win. Emily Blunt was barely in Oppenheimer. I know I talked about that on our Oppenheimer podcast, how I actually kind of like that, how they put her as a really, really background character for everything that was going on. She didn't do anything all that special. For this to be her first Oscar nomination, seems a little crazy. It is, right?
Yeah, I think so, because I can't think of any other role she would have been nominated for, but it seems weird.
Jordan's going to correct this if I don't hurry up. No, no, this was her first one.
No.
This was her first one, and it's like, when like for this to be her first one, just seems kind of crazy. She's had a lot of good performances in her career. Yeah. Oppenheimer didn't really stand out, but that just speaks to, I mean, the fact that NIAD with Jodie Foster, which barely anybody even saw, gets the nomination here is pretty surprising. But I'll just harp on it again. Like, the America Ferrera nomination here, in my opinion, is the worst nomination of the Oscars in 2024, which I actually think is a good thing. There's a lot of, normally we're talking about what Best Picture nominee got in that didn't deserve it, what director got snubbed that absolutely did deserve it. You know, we're talking about those kind of things. I think Saltburn should have been up for a lot more stuff. Anything, really.
Anything?
However, like, I am pretty okay with what I saw from the Oscars this year, but America Ferrera getting nominated for Barbie is just bad. And I, you know, look, go and sit here and be like, well, it's the patriarchy. You don't get it. Like, whatever. I don't really care. Like, America Ferrera is not good in the movie. That is the only reason why she doesn't deserve to be nominated for this. I don't like, I thought the speech was stupid, but at the same time, like, if she performs the speech well, we always talk about actors doing great things with weak material. America Ferrera didn't do anything. How is she nominated for this movie? And like, Margot Robbie's physical acting in that movie is perfection. So if you're going to do this, you got to go all in and you just got to nominate Margot Robbie. The five women they nominated instead, being that I haven't seen Nyad, but I love Annette Bening, probably deserve it more than Margot Robbie. The other four definitely do, in my opinion. But it's just like, America Ferrera does not belong on this list. Rosamund Pike was snubbed. Rosamund Pike is the biggest snub of the Oscars, in my opinion. Now, I haven't seen Past Lives. I know John's going to like argue all of those, but
I do.
Rosamund Pike should have been in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big one, I think, when it comes to supporting actress in a weak category. I think that's why it hurts so much and why it feels so big, is because it feels like this is the weakest category out of all of the nominees this year.
Mm-hmm. And then you go to the other side, which is actor in a supporting role, and that might be the strongest category.
That category is stacked. I love the fact that Mark Ruffalo got it for Poor Things. We were talking.
He was better than Willem Dafoe, for sure. Yeah,
he was absolutely better, and he was definitely more deserving for it. Robert Downey Jr., I know, is getting a lot of attention. Obviously, Ryan Gosling's done really well with Barbie, and he brought this like panache to that film. He's the best part of that movie. De Niro, I said it, his performance in Killers of the Flower Moon is just absolutely stupendous. And
then we're getting Sterling K. Brown, who should have been nominated before this. Like,
yeah, and that's just what it comes down to. Sterling K. Brown's always gives a fantastic performance, and I'm excited to see what he did in American Fiction.
Yeah, and I know like a lot of people, when you listen to these reactions and stuff like that, you'll be like, oh, they literally watched everything. We haven't seen everything yet. We'll be honest about that, you know. So I don't know for sure that Sterling K. Brown rounds out this five as perfect. Those other four, though, are fantastic. Dominic Sessa, I do feel like, is a snub. I mean, The Holdovers was my favorite movie of the year. So that's just, you know, that's just how it is for me right now. I did think it was a long shot for him to get in, though. It felt like it was just going to take too much for him to find his way over the top. I thought that Jacob Elordi, you know, again, Saltburn wasn't getting any credit, but I really liked Jacob Elordi in that movie. Other than that, I think they did pretty well with this category. Again, I haven't seen May December, so I can't really speak to Charles Melton, but I kind of like who they nominated here.
I didn't really like Charles Melton's performance in May December, but I understand why people would like it. But I this category is just so tough this year. You have, not only do you have incredibly recognizable names this year, you also have all of them giving phenomenal performances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this is, I feel like Downey Jr. is going to win this pretty easily, but he shouldn't. I feel like this is one where I'd like to know how close the votes were at the end. Because I don't know how many people are in the Academy, but I'm just going to use round numbers. Let's say 1 million people vote, right? Which is not even close to right, but let's say 1 million people vote. Like, if this isn't within 10,000 votes between first and second place out of 1 million, that's pretty BS. Like, these are great. And like Jordan just said, I'd put Paul Mescal and Dominic Sessa in for Sterling K. Brown and Ryan Gosling. I think Ryan Gosling, in my opinion, I want Ryan Gosling to win in this category. He is my favorite supporting acting performance of the year. Dominic Sessa is close, but like, Gosling is not who I'd be replacing in this situation. If anything, I'd be replacing Ruffalo, who I also think is amazing. So I just think Gosling's the best part of that movie. And people don't really want to say that so definitively, but Gosling is the best part of that movie. And I absolutely think he earned that nomination, and I'm rooting for him to win. This is like my Alan Arkin and Little Miss Sunshine. Like, let's make it happen.
Yeah. I don't know. Paul Mescal, of course, in All of Us Strangers, is supposedly really good. I really want to see that film. I haven't gotten around to it yet. And from what I've heard, like, Paul Mescal and the other guy. Who else is in that movie?
I don't know.
Andrew Scott are apparently like the big, it's what a lot of people are saying are the big actor snubs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Are the two of them.
I mean, honestly, though, like a movie like All of Us, I'm all about indie films getting nominated, you know, like Shame, Moonrise Kingdom. When those movies don't pick up big nominations, it pisses me off. But at the same time, like All of Us Strangers, I honestly don't know if I've heard of that movie until right now.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been on my radar.
It's been
I saw the trailer for it once and then it just went out of my brain.
Yeah. Well, Jordan Alford's very, very adamant about Andrew Scott's performance in that film. So
I think we'll find out if Jordan's opinion matters. Jordan, did you like Saltburn? Got to put him on the spot that way, right? This is where, like, you're the call-in and you know that you're going to get crap. You better, Jordan, there's one answer to this question.
Well, should we take this and transition over to Best Actor then?
Yeah, for sure. I haven't seen Colman Domingo and Rustin, and I haven't seen Jeffrey Wright yet in American Fiction. So we're talking about the other three who we knew were coming. Oh, Jordan hasn't seen Saltburn. Jordan, you live to see another day.
Okay.
I'm very excited for Jeffrey Wright's performance in American Fiction. I'm so excited. And I'm excited when we do our predictions episode to talk about that with our would win, could win, should win. Right now, Bradley Cooper is my pick out of these five. Wow. I love Bradley Cooper's performance in Maestro. I think Cillian Murphy and Paul Giamatti are amazing, especially Paul Giamatti. Bradley Cooper, to me, he's not getting the credit he deserves because this is being chalked up as an Oscar bait type movie. And I hate Oscar bait at this point. It's like, oh, there's no artistic merit. Like, let's move past the Oscar bait thing, okay? Like just because you're making a good drama that is a biopic does not mean you're Oscar baiting. Like, the amount of effort and work that Bradley Cooper put into this performance is amazing. It's physical. He nails this part. I love Bradley Cooper. I'm very happy he got the nomination here. If Giamatti or Murphy's going to win, but if Giamatti were to win, I'd be very happy too. Paul Giamatti has been overlooked for so long. Dylan Randazzo said All the Strangers excellent, but I think it was always more of a BAFTA thing than Oscar thing. Sadly, same thing with Saltburn. What's your take on these five though?
Again, I also haven't seen Colman Domingo, who is every year in with Best Actor, we get that one random nominee.
Mm-hmm.
No one's expecting. It's from a movie you've never heard of. Like, you probably know who Colman Domingo is, but now everyone's going to be rushing to see Rustin to see what is this? What is this performance? Why is it nominated for Best Picture? I'm very interested to see it. I haven't seen Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction, but again, I've heard so many good things about his performance in that. Bradley Cooper, again, like you said, Maestro. I feel like that film's being very underrated. A lot of people didn't like that film. But Bradley Cooper is so good in that. And if you've seen some of the interviews with Bernstein's kids, they say that Bradley Cooper completely embodies Leonard Bernstein in this film.
Yeah.
And he uses everything. All of the little tiny things in his performance just are their father, they said.
Here's Jordan. Good performance by Colman Domingo, but God, Rustin is not good. We also had Annalyn Starr here say, would have loved to see Iron Claw get more recognition, but it probably would have only been for Zac Efron. If anything, Zac Efron was being talked about to get into this category. Now, that's a movie that, again, I have not seen. It was on our radar, and we almost did a podcast about it, but then it kind of kept falling off because we were like, first of all, where is it playing? And then second of all, is it going to get any notoriety at the Oscars when that time comes around, because we tried to get the Oscar movies in a little bit earlier so we're not just like scrambling to get them in. I am a little surprised that Zac Efron, I'm surprised the Iron Claw did not have more of a push from its distributor to get nominations. It didn't feel like we were hearing about it from like an Oscar perspective, and the people who have seen it have talked very highly about it.
Yeah, they have, and it's one that I really want to see. But their distributor is A24. A24 is busy pushing Past Lives and The Zone of Interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too many. You're right. Now, Leonardo DiCaprio not getting nominated for Killers of the Flower Moon. That's pretty shocking. I thought this was probably like top two performances of his career.
he was good, but like, I'm not complaining about him not getting the nom.
I just want to say this real quick. I would argue the three best performances of Leonardo DiCaprio's career are What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Django Unchained. And he didn't get nominated for two of them.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I think those could be his, I think those could be his three best. And Alford says it, his performance was too subtle.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we see over and over again with this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that's it for when it comes to best. Yeah. I don't feel like there were, like, other than Leo, were there any big stubs for this category?
It was Efron and Leo. And I feel like those were the people.
And Barry Coogan, maybe?
He's the snub, but nobody's talking about it. He absolutely is the snub. I mean, in my opinion, that's the best performance of the year in a leading role. He's mental in that movie, but it's just like, it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going
to
happen.
Academy doesn't like that movie. That's what just what it came down to.
Yeah. All right, let's round out like kind of these top five categories and then move on. Actress in a leading role. We got Benning, Lily Gladstone, Sandra Hüller, Carey Mulligan, Emma Stone. So Sandra Hüller was the one who stole it from Margot Robbie. She was the one who swooped in and took that fifth spot because Margot Robbie was nominated for the SAG along with the other four women in this category. So Sandra Hüller really was. You can actually see that she was the person who took Margot Robbie's spot. She's great. Sandra Hüller is unreal. I'm going to praise Anatomy of a Fall because I just watched it. This category is loaded, dude. This might be the strongest best actress category. I'm actually going to look this up now. You talk about this category because I'm going to look up the best actress category and try to find one that's better than this right now.
Obviously, one of the big things, Lily Gladstone pushed to be in lead actress instead of supporting actress. It's part of the reason why supporting actress is so weak, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Rightfully so, though, because Lily Gladstone gives such an incredible performance in Killers of the Flower Moon. It was interesting. I was talking to my mom the other day. They had just watched Killers of the Flower Moon. And she said she didn't find her performance that good. And again, it's the subtlety. Her performance is so subtle. It's really concerning because she gives an absolutely incredible performance in it. Emma Stone, we talked about on our Poor Things podcast. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, go check it out. Incredible physical performance. Mm-hmm. And like the development she has in that movie is spectacular. Haven't seen Nyad. Can't speak on Annette Bening, but Jordan Alford said earlier that she does all of her own swimming in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty impressive. And Carey Mulligan, I think, is the highlight of Maestro. Carey Mulligan's performance in that movie is spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, Mulligan's incredible. I feel like I'm in the minority who think Cooper was better, but honestly, this could be like an as good as it gets situation where they both just win, and I wouldn't be mad about it. I just went back to kind of see where was the last time that I would really say it was close. Probably 2017. We had the weak performance from Meryl Streep for The Post that year, but the other four nominees were Frances McDormand in Three Billboards, Sally Hawkins in The Shape of Water, Margot Robbie in I, Tonya, and Saoirse Ronan in Lady Bird. I mean, those four performances are incredible. That would probably be the last time it was close. You know, it's tough, but that would probably be the last one. And then you have to go pretty far back to find another one where you're like, oh my God. I mean, because Meryl Streep keeps getting lumped in for performances that really aren't that great. That's the biggest problem here. I'd probably argue that so here's the actual best one. 2012, Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook, Jessica Chastain, Zero Dark Thirty, Emmanuel Riva for Amour, Quavonzi Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild, Naomi Watts for The Impossible. That is actually. That is actually the one. When we look at this, I agree with you. Mulligan's incredible. Emma Stone's incredible. Lily Gladstone is very, very subtle, but incredible. Right now, the favorite is Emma Stone, but barely over Lily Gladstone.
Okay.
They're giving Annette Bening the worst odds, but this is a category that could be the surprise of Oscar night because we don't have Sandra Hüller getting the nomination for the SAG. Who won this on Golden Globe night? It was Lily Gladstone, right?
I believe it. Golden Globes is hard because they separate the categories, right? So I'm pretty sure it was Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone.
Oh, because Emma Stone was considered
comedy.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. So she won for comedy. Lily Gladstone won the other. This is a tough category, man. And I know you want to talk about Greta Lee.
Of course, I want to talk about Greta Lee. There's no way I'm talking about the biggest Greta snub of the Oscars is Greta Lee. Her performance in Past Lives is absolutely spectacular. And again, it is a subtle performance. It's not as physical. It's not as out there as these other performances of these nominees. and I'm still not terribly upset about this category of nominees, but Greta Lee deserved this nomination, and it's really unfortunate not to see her get it.
If you were to pick from the four that you've, or you've only seen three.
I have only seen three.
This is hard for me because I was going to ask you, but you've only seen three. From the four women that I've seen, and I'm going to watch Nyad because I do love Annette Bening. From the four that I've seen, I honestly don't know how I would rank them.
And that's kind of where I'm at too, is the thing.
I'm talking my number four could be my number one and my number one could be my number four. I have no idea who I actually think should win this category. And that's why the actual odds on this, you're talking Emma Stone 11 to 2, which is essentially 5.5 to 1. Lily Gladstone is 6 to 1. Sandra Hüller is 7 to 1. Carey Mulligan is 7 to 1. Annette Bening is 7.5 to 1.
What?
There's no favorite.
Wow.
There's no favorite.
That is.
I'm getting all this from Gold Derby, by the way, for anybody who wants to know. So I know that this stuff will change now that the Oscar nominations came out. Jordan Alford said Emma Stone already has one too, and sometimes that hurts you. Maybe Cate Blanchett last year. I think Lily Gladstone will ultimately kind of get that Michelle Yeoh situation of like, we like Lily Gladstone. We like what she did here. Lily Gladstone might have shot herself in the foot, though, by going into Best Actress instead of doing Supporting Actress. Because if she was Supporting Actress, I love Divine Joy Randolph. I think she was phenomenal. I think Lily Gladstone probably beats Divine Joy Randolph, even though Divine Joy Randolph is better in her role than Lily Gladstone is in hers, in my opinion. I think that Lily Gladstone would have gotten the hype and it would have been, okay, Killers of the Flower Moon, this is your win.
Yeah.
This is a tough category this year. Unbelievable category. And it's crazy when you have this strong of lead actresses and that bad of supporting actresses. And we're talking Margot Robbie's still not in here.
Yeah.
You just said Greta Lee is not in here. Like, you have some great acting that wasn't even seen. Anything from May, December, which I haven't seen, but there's a lot that could have still been in here.
Yeah. Which I think I'm more excited about this Oscars than I have been in a long time. Because it does feel like these categories are actually competitive. It feels like there are certain films that are favored in a lot of them.
Yeah.
But it still feels like almost anything can win.
This is the first time in a long time where it feels like anything could win.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. Jordan thinks that SAG will be the decider in Best Actress. Could, but Sandra Hüller's not nominated. You never know. When you don't get that nomination and then all of a sudden at the Oscars, I mean, that's how Alan Arkin won. For Little Miss Sunshine. He snuck in after not getting the SAG. Sometimes that happens. Let's start looking at some of these other smaller categories. We don't have to spend as much time on them. I just, you know, wanted to see kind of your reaction to some of these. I'm going to take it from Gold Derby because it's just easier and we can go in this order here. Smaller categories, the most important categories. Adapted screenplay, Killers of the Flower Moon did not get a nom. Oppenheimer, American Fiction, Barbie, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Now, I will go out there and say there is 0% chance Barbie deserves to be nominated in this category. I think the Barbie script is the worst part of that movie other than America Ferrera. The script, the first 45 minutes, it is like, where the hell are we going with this? And then it figures it out. The last hour is phenomenal, hilarious. But the script is not the strong suit of this movie. No Killers of the Flower Moon really, really shocked me here. I'm not surprised Oppenheimer and American Fiction. I'm not surprised Poor Things, but I'm really surprised no Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, screenplay is always hard because it feels like it's something that I haven't ever seen enough movies to fully judge. You know? Because there are a lot of movies with really good screenplays that have poor performances, they're directed poorly, they have no attention given to them. It's really hard to determine them. And because screenplays are so different from one another, they're really hard to rank as well. I think, like you said, the big thing is no Killers of the Flower Moon. Surprising. But, I mean, what? Scorsese gets Best Director at nom again? Like, does he need the writing? Like, do they need another writing nom for that movie too?
So WGA actually hasn't come out with their nominations yet. For their categories. So we don't actually know what they're going to go with. It's always interesting. I mean, remember the WGA gave Don't Look Up.
That's right. And that was one of the worst written movies in a long time.
So, I mean, writers who don't know how to write. I mean, that's, if you're wondering why writers were on strike, maybe the fact that they thought Don't Look Up was a good script had something to do with it. They also gave it to Coda. Holy crap. They were stupid in 2021.
It was everyone. It's okay.
Oh my God. And they gave it to Borat's subsequent movie film. What am I doing here? Okay. So the WGA awards are bad, but I think that when it comes to writing, writing is one of those things where if you get a twist, if you get a Usual Suspects, it's an obvious, right? Because it's that twist ending. We set you up, we knocked you down. Midnight in Paris was an obvious one because it really like leaned into all of those things that made it special and unique and whatever. The hard part with these categories a lot of the time is like you don't notice some of the great writing in these movies as it's happening. And I'm interested to see American Fiction in the zone of interest because between Oppenheimer, Barbie, and Poor Things, I'm not overly impressed. I like all those movies. I gave 3.5 to Oppenheimer, 3.5 to Poor Things, and 3 to Barbie out of 4 for anybody who's new. But I'm excited to see American Fiction in the zone of interest because I would like to see a surprise here if I end up enjoying one of those movies. And based on the trailer for American Fiction, I'd be very shocked if I don't enjoy that movie.
Yeah.
And that's where I guess my shock with what do you call it, Killers of the Flower Moon is, because Killers of the Flower Moon not getting a nomination to me is the winner out of the three that I've seen that are nominated right here. So Dylan says, I take WGA with a grain of salt. Selva films are ineligible because their writers aren't guild members. Anatomy, Poor Things, Zone of Interest, et cetera. And that's a great point. Yeah, that is a phenomenal point there from Dylan. Best Original Screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Past Lives Maestro, May, December. I feel like this is like The Holdovers. Divine Joy Randolph will win. I also feel like that The Holdovers really, really got a good shot here.
I think so.
Anatomy of a Fall, I don't really know how they kept tension in that movie the whole time and keep you second guessing the whole time. This is a good category.
This is a good category. May December feels like the odd one out here. I still don't understand how movies based on real life people can be original screenplays. I don't quite understand
Barbie, which is based on a doll, is adapted, but May December, which is based on real people.
No, Maestro, which is based on.
Oh, Maestro. I'm sorry. Maestro, which is based on a real person, is original.
Yeah, it baffles me. I still don't quite understand the distinction. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I love the script for Holdovers. Still haven't seen Anatomy of Fall. You know where I'm going with this category, though.
Yeah.
Past Lives, like, for a first film, like, what Celine Song does with this script and the screenplay is phenomenal. But I do think this is a very tight category. Again, I think we're just at a point where it's tight in a lot of these categories.
Yeah. Annalyn Starr brings up a good point about the first one. She said the screenplay for Oppenheimer was written in the first person, I think. So that different creative direction may help. That is pretty, interesting. Yeah. Unfortunately, those are the things you don't actually see on screen, right?
Yeah.
And Jordan Alford, this is 1000% agreed. I need Anatomy of a Fall to win just so the orchestra plays PIMP.
There you go. Yeah.
Jordan, the way that PIMP is actually played into the movie, not just the song, but like how it actually impacts the story. Just unbelievable. That movie's so good. All right, let's jump into cinematography. This is where we have the shock of all shocks. What the hell is El Conde? Somebody tell me what El Conde is.
It's like last year where that one Enyarito film was nominated for best cinematography that no one had heard of, right? The Bardo or whatever it was.
On Netflix.
Yeah. I guess Netflix is just like, hey, have you checked out our cinematography? It's all we're pushing anymore.
That's crazy to me. Like Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, Maestro. Not shocked by any of those. I would think that The Holdovers, where the entire movie was made to look like it was in the 70s and it does a very good job, would get the other nomination here.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. Dylan Randazzo says, beautiful black and white cinematography. He's heard. It's a Pablo Rain film about a vampire. Okay.
Cool. Sounds interesting. I'm excited to watch it.
This was the shock to me, was that. And then, like I said, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, Maestro. Yeah, that's a tough one. Poor Things is a beautiful looking movie.
It is.
It really is.
I will say, I'm going to say it again. Past Lives, I think, is a snub in this category. I think I'm higher on the cinematography in that movie than a lot of people are. But I think the subtlety in the cinematography is so gorgeous in that film Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'll when we get to the past lives preview, I will talk in abundance about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to come in that day.
Yeah, okay.
What do we have that one scheduled for? I actually scheduled them all out today so I can tell everybody. So you're going to want to get your Patreon for February 1st, and then you're going to want to cancel it for February 26th when John goes on a 7-hour conversation with himself about past lives, and then come back in for March 1 when we do Poor Things. No, I mean, I'm excited to watch that. I just ordered it on Amazon today. I just bought it, DVD getting sent to my house, because I love physical media. Yes. So I am excited to watch that. But best costume design, Barbie, Poor Things, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Napoleon. Anyway, Barbie doesn't win that.
I actually think this is another really strong category. I think it's kind of the gimme category for Barbie, though.
Do you think that there's a bad category at this Oscars? Is this the best Oscars since like 2010?
Maybe. Maybe. Like,
did they actually do a great job?
It's quite possible. It feels like it, right? It feels like it. It feels like they did a great job. Maybe, I don't know, best original song, because that category is a joke anyways.
I mean, Diane Warren, she's bad.
Yeah, obviously. I looked at the nominees for best original song. I'm like, where's my Diane Warren song? It has to be here. Baby.
The fire inside. This is a really good category. And oh man, like, I don't know. I would be fine if any of them won. And like, even if Napoleon won, I wouldn't be mad, because like Napoleon was really good. Like, it's just the best not that part good. Of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, these are strong categories, you know, and we talk a lot when we do our predictions episodes. There's always like, this one can't win. I remember when it was like, if Coda wins Best Picture, this Oscars was a waste of my time. And what happens? Coda wins Best Picture. I don't feel like that with anything right now. Even if Barbie won Best Picture, it'd be the biggest eye roll of all time, right? I would just be like, oh my God. But at the same time, if Barbie won Best Picture, I can't sit here and be like, that was a bad movie. If Barbie wins Best Picture, this is what's funny about that, right? As much as I'll sit here and say, oh, you know, it is what it is. I don't know, you know, how much I need to see that movie. If Barbie were to win Best Picture, it would probably end up in like my top 70 Best Picture winners. And I've seen all 96, including whatever. I mean, like, that's like nothing to sneeze at, because I actually like Best Picture winners. So I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. Like, and that's the bad one. And I know you're actually going to see American Fiction tonight. So we'll kind of roll through these a little bit here. Best film editing. This is always the one that's actually like the biggest tell of what's going to win Best Picture. Oppenheimer. Maybe. No duh.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Oppenheimer was a no duh that it was going to get in here. Anatomy of a Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, The Holdovers. It's just like Oppenheimer. When you get a Nolan movie that's editing with his scores, it's like, yeah, okay, no shit. Yeah. Cool. Got it.
Exactly.
And I can't sit here and pretend to know what got snubbed for film editing. So I'm not going to.
No, neither can I.
Makeup and hairstyling. Maestro, Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Society of the Snow, and Golda. So Society of the Snow and Golda both got more Oscar nominations than Saltburn.
Yes. Well, Society of the Snow got 2, but that's fine.
That was international, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Spain film this year. Gotcha. Golda, surprising. That one shocked me. I thought that film was just going to disappear into obscurity and we weren't going to have to worry about it, but apparently here it is.
I thought they would for sure just put Barbie in here because...
Yeah.
You know, why not? Did I just totally freeze?
You're not moving, but I can hear you.
You're logged in, right?
Yes.
I'm going to leave and come back. Give me a sec.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, makeup and hairstyling, usually we have these period pieces, so it's a little different this time when we don't have a period piece in this category, and instead we have...
Go ahead, keep talking. Go ahead.
We just have all of these different... Makeup and hairstyling is so interesting because I feel like it's so different in each and every one of these films.
Yeah. I oh man. Society of the Snow is a J.A. Bayona film.
Yes.
This is what I think about Netflix movies. It comes out on Netflix and it comes in and goes away so fast. And like, I love J.A. Bayona. J.A. Bayona is like an all-time great, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I got to watch that. I didn't know that that was even a movie, because when things go out on Netflix, if they don't think it's going to make them a bunch of monies and they're not going to get subscriptions because of it, they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
This is a close category, though. I mean, we've said that pretty much about all of them. Personally, makeup and hairstyle, Maestro should win. They make Bradley Cooper look like he's 90 years old for half that movie. The hairstyling on Carey Mulligan is crazy. I think Maestro should win that award. I think Poor Things is going to finish second in a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of where it's feeling right now is it's like, it's really good at all of these things, but is it the best at these things?
Yeah, I agree. And then production design, another one. Barbie, Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon. Poor Things and Barbie are insane production design wise.
Yeah.
Do Poor Things get this, or is for me is like the Barbie is going to win?
Yeah. But again, like this category is really competitive. It could honestly be any of them.
Yeah. Nothing that jumps out to me is like, I can't believe that. I mean, maybe Napoleon, but then you start looking at like other movies, what really would have jumped into production?
Just period pieces. They love period pieces for production design. Yeah. Beau is Afraid, I think, could have made this one. But the Academy was not touching that movie with a 10-foot pole.
Okay, so now we go to Best Original Score. What is original at this point? Like redo what you've done for the last 42 years and we'll give it to you? Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny?
I don't even remember the score in that movie.
It's probably dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-
also announced his retirement, right? I mean, I know he recently announced he's not retiring anymore and he's like still going to write scores. But this was probably the Academy being like, oh shit, this is the last time we can nominate John Williams for an Oscar.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't have. Sorry.
Yeah.
Dylan Randazzo actually said Asteroid City was a big production design shocker snub.
That's a good point. I kind of forgot
Asteroid City came out this year.
Yeah, so did I, which is weird because I actually really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, it just came out so early. It's kind of been just forgotten at this point.
Well, it's in that pre-Barbenheimer period.
Also, Godzilla Minus Zero would have been a great one, but they're not going to nominate a foreign film in that category. That wasn't also a Best Picture nominee.
Oppenheimer
is a great score. I think Oppenheimer's gonna end up winning that. Jordan says Yorgos is always gonna be a bridesmaid, never a bride. His films are a little too weird for the Oscars. That's what everybody thought about Alejandro Iñárritu too. Yeah. And guess what? He won back-to-back years for director, so I don't know. Dylan says though Wes Anderson will finally win his Oscar this year for the short film he did. Took him long enough.
I haven't watched any of those short films yet.
You're about to. You're going to get there.
Best
song. Is it going to be What Was I Made For or I'm Just Ken? And I'm not. Hey, look,
if you want to listen, I'm Just Ken.
I don't know, man. What Was I Made For is the one that's been winning all this stuff.
I'm Just Ken won the Critics' Choice Award, right?
Yeah, but Critics' Choice Award is like not a good precursor to these things.
It's not. But I'm Just Ken is the song that gets stuck in your head after you see that movie.
Yeah, you'd hope that that's where people go. That's what you'd hope. Who knows? I hope it's I'm Just Ken. If you want to hear a good Diane Warren song, go listen to the one for Con Air and just laugh to yourself thinking that song was written for Con Air. Seriously, please, for the love of God, everybody do that. As soon as this podcast is over, go type in Con Air best original song and put that on and say, wait, this was for Con Air.
Yeah.
Best Sound, Oppenheimer, Zone of Interest, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1, The Creator. This is where they always kind of throw in their sci-fi stuff. Oppenheimer's going to win that. I don't think there's any way that that's not going to.
Honestly, I think there's a stub in this category. I don't know how Godzilla did not get nominated for this.
Well, and they did. And what kind of surprised me is if they weren't going to nominate Godzilla for this, I figured they would just not nominate Godzilla for anything. But then they nominated it for visual effects. So it's like, if you're going to nominate for visual effects, you obviously saw it. What did you thought it looked good, but it sounded like shit?
Yeah, it's wild because I thought the sound in Godzilla Minus One was spectacular and one of the strong suits of the film. And like that film was obviously very good all around, but I thought the sound was one of the best parts and it's just not here.
Yeah.
And it's not often that I sit here and say there's a snub for best sound.
Yeah. I know if Sound of Metal, that would have been the only one that we could have potentially said that.
Yeah.
With best visual effects, with Godzilla Minus One, The Creator, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, and Napoleon, I feel like Godzilla should win that. I could see The Creator winning it, though, because it's the more seen of those films. But Godzilla's visual effects were amazing. So was its sound. I can't believe Oppenheimer is locked in to win best sound now because
Godzilla's not there to challenge it. We didn't get the clash of the nuclear warhead or the nuclear bomb stories. We didn't get it.
I know. That was our one opportunity.
Yeah.
Although Maestro could potentially win Best Sound because there is music in that, and sometimes people
there just is vote. In fact music in that movie.
When they don't see a movie, they just vote that way. So nothing shocking in animated feature.
I mean, you know, there's two movies I never heard of. That tends to be how animated feature works.
Yeah, they threw in Elemental, which got bad reviews, so that's funny. But it's between The Boy and the Heron and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Like, those are the two movies that are going to be in there. And we're going to be doing one of those movies for our podcast next week. We haven't decided which one yet, but it'll be one of those movies and Eternals. So that'll be what we do, between The Boy and the Heron and Spider-Man Across the Universe. So our Crisis Spider-Verse. It's between those two movies. Nothing really jumps out. The animated movies this year were weak. The big studio animated movies were really weak, except for those two.
I think it comes down to, do you like the art style of Spider-Man more, or do you like giving Miyazaki something for his last movie?
Yeah. And I think they're going to give it to Spider-Man because I don't think enough people actually know or care who Miyazaki is who are voting for this.
Yeah, probably. I would assume so. But I don't know. I think this is really, it is it's a two-horse race, but it's a close two-horse race.
Yeah. We don't need to talk about like these other, like the shorts and everything like that, because we'll talk about those when we make our predictions. But I couldn't sit here and be like, well, my reaction is I can't believe it. I mean, yeah, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, that is Wes Anderson's short film that's probably going to win. So it's not surprising that that's in there. In terms of the other ones, you did mention though that you were a little surprised with Best Documentary Feature.
I know. What a weird thing to be surprised about. But Beyond Utopia was not nominated for this category, and that movie has been raved about this year.
Yeah.
So I was kind of shocked. Maybe it's the subject matter. Maybe they just wanted to play it a little close and not discuss people trying to escape North Korea. But I don't know. I don't think I have ever been at a point where I was like, man, we have a documentary feature snub.
Yeah. And then in Best International Film, we finally almost had the opportunity to have two international films go head to head that were also both nominated for Best Picture. Instead, Anatomy of a Fall was not submitted by France because most of that movie is actually in English. So The Zone of Interest is locked in. It's going to win. That's a shame. And honestly, this is where, because Past Lives is in a different language, right? It's not in English.
It's mostly in Korean. There's English in it too. There's like English moments as well, but it's like mostly Korean.
That's almost where they hurt themselves with this, changing it to Best International Film instead of Best Foreign Language Film.
Yes.
Because Past Lives, The Zone of Interest, and Anatomy of a Fall all would have been nominated in here. But because they did Best International Film, it has to be a movie from a different country. And that's why you get The Zone of Interest from the UK.
Yeah. And it has to be a movie that country submitted for the category. Because for some reason, this category can still only have one submission per country.
Yeah. It's too many movies. That actually makes it. There's so many movies like worldwide. Oh, for sure. It's like pick your one. And plus, this is really the Academy Awards always have been kind of a celebration of American film, just like the BAFTAs are So it makes sense. Patrick Stahl says Miyazaki is actually not retiring from what he's heard most recently. That might have been Wikipedia, though. And then Jordan said, no, I've heard he's working on something too. So,
interesting.
All right. Before you got to go, because I know you got to run over to your, you got to go see American Fiction.
Yes.
Let's talk quickly about Best Picture. How long are previews in Canada? You guys get like 25 minutes of previews like we do?
Yeah, it's just a matter of like getting to the theater. That's all.
you better sprint, John. Dylan Randazzo said Japan could have gotten Godzilla, Boy and the Heron, and Perfect Days if there wasn't that stupid rule. And I almost think that's why there is that stupid rule, because otherwise Japan would dominate. And a lot of times Spain or Mexico would dominate those awards.
Oh, actually, that reminds me. There is actually a snub in Best Animated. Suzume. Which was an anime film from Japan this year. Lots of raving about that movie. And people were actually surprised it didn't get an animated nominee.
Raise your hand if you've heard of that movie. Yeah, my hands aren't up. If you're listening on the podcast, my hand is not up. Real quick about these Best Pictures. Any surprises for you here? And like the fact that Past Lives, The Zone of Interest, and Anatomy of a Fall all got the nomination, does that surprise you? Or you just thought like these were the 10? Was there, when you woke up and saw these were the 10 movies, did anything shock you?
It pleasantly surprised me. But at the same time, I was not sure what else might sneak in here. I mean, like maybe like something like Asteroid City. Maybe I kind of expected Saltburn. I know a lot of people kind of expected The Color Purple, but that movie wasn't good, so I'm not surprised it didn't get it. I'm just really happy with this. When we come out of a year and it's like Barbie is the lowest of the films nominated for Best Picture, and there are still 10 nominees, it's a pretty good year.
That's a very good year. It's a very good year. And I mean, like I said, I've seen 7 of the 10. I'm excited to see Zone of Interest. I'm excited to see Past Lives. I'm excited to see American Fiction. Normally we get to this point and there's 1-2 movies that I'm like, oh, I've seen every Best Picture winner since like 96 or something. Yeah. And it's like, or every Best Picture nominee since 96. Yeah. And I'm going through right now trying to watch them all from all time. And there's always 1 or 2 where you're just like, oh God, I'm going to sit through that shit now. I don't have that feeling this year. Like Maestro was that movie. And then I sat down and watched Maestro and was like, well, thank God that was nominated because I would have ignored it. And that would have been a big mistake because I right now. So here, just real quick for my ratings, Oppenheimer 3.5, Holdovers 4.5. Cause I actually have that as the potential to be on my top 100. Yeah. So that's the only movie that's essentially a 4-star movie. Poor Things 3.5, Anatomy of a Fall 4 stars, Killers of the Flower Moon 4, Barbie 3, Maestro 4. It doesn't get any better than that. Like that is pretty much as good as it can get. And there's 3 movies left that I'm very excited to see that I think that this might be the first time since they've expanded beyond 5 movies that every single nomination, in my opinion, is a 3-star or better movie, which a 3-star movie is what I consider as like the cutoff for a good movie. I would rewatch that movie.
Yeah.
That is where it seems like we are at right now with these nominations. So like, the biggest surprise to me, the shocker to me, is that Hollywood didn't put in a bigger budget movie that was struggling at the box office, The Color Purple, but it could have been a variety of things, and actually went with these smaller movies across the board. I was floored when they did Anatomy of a Fall, The Zone of Interest, and Past Lives, but that's great. And I think people are going to watch Anatomy of a Fall if they can get over, as Bong Joon-ho calls it, the 2-inch barrier. Or no, that was Guillermo del Toro who said that, the 2-inch barrier. That was him when he won for Shape of Water. But if they can get over that, they're going to watch Anatomy of a Fall and be like, this is a phenomenal movie. Like, this is not a boring international, oh, look, it's artsy fartsy. No. That is a great thriller, man. Like, I love Anatomy of a Fall. And I think The Zone of Interest is probably that artsy fartsy movie. But at the same time, like, it's...
Oh, no, that movie sounds pretty depressing.
Yeah, sure sounds compelling. I mean, for anybody who is learning about The Zone of Interest for the first time, and then we will wrap this up. The tagline for that movie is a Nazi commandant tries to build a dream life for his family near the Auschwitz concentration camp.
Yeah, fun. Sounds like a very fun movie.
But I'm hooked because I want to know how the hell they made that movie and made characters sympathetic to the point where this can be considered great. So I'm excited to see it, and a good year. I will say my biggest takeaway as we wrap this up, is I'm not mad about anything.
No.
And that's awesome. That's awesome.
I love it. Except for Saltburn. Yes. But it makes me really excited just to like talk through all 10 of these Best Picture nominees over the next month.
Yeah. So again, we will be going through and we'll be doing our 10 Best Picture nominees starting on... I had the date. It was February 1st.
February 1st.
Doing American Fiction. This is for $10 patrons. So if you want to become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. February 1 is the time if you're a movie fan and not really so much a Survivor fan. You don't really need the extra Survivor content, but you want the extra movie content. February 1st, the best time. Do it for a month. You'll get us doing more in-depth about all 10 of these Best Picture nominees. And if you're not a patron yet, patreon.com/thespecialist. $5 patrons, which is our lowest tier, you get $5 Tuesdays, which are movies that we've just been ripping out. Actually, the one that drops next week is The Karate Kid. The one that dropped today was $4. So we're kind of going through some of the bigger movies that are having these anniversaries this year, you know, a 5 or a 0 at the end of their anniversary. But Jordan says, watch all of Us Strangers. I will after I watch Picture movies, because now I have to watch all of those, plus the movies for the podcast, plus the movies for $5 Tuesdays, all within a very short amount of time. But All of Us Strangers is certainly on my list. And what's crazy is Saltburn I loved, but I'm not mad Saltburn didn't get nominated because I feel like the other nominations were so good.
I agree.
And very rarely do you come out of that with something like that. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed yourselves. Go check out these movies. If you haven't, I don't know what else to say, you know, just go find it.
Just do it.
Find it. Like most of these are good. So we'll see you all next week, probably either next Tuesday or Wednesday. We haven't figured out exactly when yet, but we will see you next week when we will be talking about Eternals and either The Boy and the Heron or Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. We just got to figure out which one we're going to do. So follow us on Cinema Specialists over on Twitter, and you can find out when we'll be live and what we'll be talking about there. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.